We are in the third week of our study of the Ten Commandments, which brings us to commandment number... Very good. You guys are good at that. All right. I have been extremely excited to preach this sermon. To be honest with you, the reason why I've been so excited is because my understanding of this sermon and this passage of Scripture has been radically altered. I do not today believe what I believed 2 years ago about this portion of the Scripture. And I'm going to lead you on a journey of discovery today so that hopefully when you walk out the door, you're not going, "That guy's a crackpot," which you normally say. Today I want you to go out and be amazed at the brilliance of what we're covering. But if you've got your Bibles, you should open it up to Deuteronomy chapter 5, and we're going to be taking a look at verse 11. Now, last week during the sermon, I'm not certain I spent enough time on this next point that I want to make a part of every message, okay, while we're dealing with the Mosaic Law. You need to remember as we take a look at the Mosaic Law that we are not under the law. The Mosaic Law was for a time. That time has come and gone, okay? And one of the things about the law that we need to understand is that the law was limited. Now, I told you to turn to Deuteronomy, right? So stay there. I want to read a couple of verses for you as we talk just briefly as we get started about the law. In Romans chapter 3, we read a couple of verses, and they say this. In chapter 3... Verse 20, "For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight," that is in God's sight, "since through the law comes knowledge of the sin." If you go down a little bit further, it says, "For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law." You see, the law did not justify people. It's not the works, it wasn't even fulfilling all the works of the law that will set you right. Because all the law did was point out all of your shortcomings. But we don't live under the law. We live under the grace. Now, salvation has always been by God's grace. But today there is nothing in between us and God's grace. You don't have to bring a cow. You don't have to give an offer. You don't have to do anything but rest and trust and faith. And we'll talk about that. But I just want to remind you, I know we're spending some time on the Mosaic Law, but you need to remember, we're not under Mosaic Law. We're under grace. All right. Having said that, the key idea today is to trust in the Lord Jesus and be saved. All right? Trust in the Lord Jesus and be saved. Bryce? Oh, next slide, we'll have to do it. Let's see, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 11 says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." And I want to point, that did not work very well. Turn off the lights. Maybe that'll help. Can you see that in red? No, it would be better if I did it like that and just said, pay attention to this second half here. "The Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." Now, most of you, and for most of my life, the image of taking the name of the Lord in vain is the image of the sailor who is a really swell guy who stubs his toe and says, "Oh, James," right? You know, somebody who smashes his thumb and says, "Todd," you know, or even more importantly, somebody that would say something like, "Jesus, large watery obstruction," right? Or to be, "God damn it." Or Jesus H. Christ, or some other, what we consider vulgar use of the word of the Lord. I am here to tell you that doesn't say that.
What you talking about, preacher man?
Good question. I just want to start off by check this out. I used to be an airborne paratrooper. And believe it or not, they are not paragons of virtue. Did you know that being in the military can lead to interesting and colorful metaphors flying off the handle really easily? Now imagine someone who is raised in that environment and it's a habit. And then they get saved. And God will not hold them guiltless for a habit where they're striving against it? Does that make sense to you? Let us enjoy this journey of discovery today as I bring, hopefully, light in dark places. Turn them all off. Watch.
Yes, good Lord. Protect and watch over me as the shepherd watches over his flock.
How many of you have seen that movie, The Mummy? Could you see what was happening there? Here is this man in this dark place, and he's afraid and he's running from something. And he turns, and there is this, they call it the mummy, this evil being, right? And he's totally afraid. And what does he do? What was the first thing he pulled out? A cross. And he tried to say some sort of Christian prayer. And did that work? No. So then what did he pull out? It was some sort of Egyptian... Yeah, that didn't work. And then he brought out a Buddha or something, and that didn't work. And what did he finally pull out? The Star of David, the language of the slaves, and he was saved. That's what this verse is talking about. Do not take the name of the Lord in vain. He was using whatever he could find to defend himself against this evil creature. Christianity didn't work. Egyptology didn't work. Buddhism didn't work. Judaism, oh, wait a minute, I've got a winner here. Let's go, baby. That's what this is talking about. So if you've got your Bibles, I'm going to just marinate on this verse for a while. Eventually, we're going to work our way into other parts of the Scripture. But right now, we're just going to take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 11, and I'm going to try and break it down for you a little bit. You should have some notes. And it should... Oh, here you go. Again, sorry about the coloration. This is from the Septuagint. That's what the LXX is. Deuteronomy chapter 5. That's Lepsa, which it's in red because this is the same word down here. Okay? It's a different form of it. And this is the word, this is what we translate don't take or have taken. Okay? So don't take or don't have taken. And then there's the mataios. I'm really good at my ancient Greek, can you tell? Mataios here, and this is the word that have translated vain. And you see it's here and here. And then we have katharaon here, okay? So we're going to take a look at these three different words. And we're going to get a better understanding of what this verse says, what this third commandment is all about. Okay? So the meaning of the command. Number one, what does it mean to take? Well, the Hebrew word is nasa, and the Greek word is lambano. And it means to take, to lift, to accept, or to get a hold of. The idea is where you are wrapping your arms around something, embracing it. It has absolutely nothing to do with what you say, but rather it is what you claim, what you take, okay? The idea here is that they are taking the name of God and they are holding it to themselves, applying the name of God to themselves. And it says, do not apply the name of God to yourself in vain. Think back to that movie clip where he's going through whatever he can try to get a pass, right? There are people who falsely claim God. There are people who are not Christians. There are people who look at Christianity just as a means to get an in a social setting. There are people who think, well, you know, when I was 12, I said a prayer, and so I'm going to heaven. You know, I'm a Christian because I went to Sunday school. Or I'm a Christian because I tithe. They're missing what it means to be a believer. They are falsely applying the name of God to themselves. Is there any question on what I'm saying here? Because I went back to both the Greek and the Hebrew, and I spent some time. And I'm looking at this, and I'm studying this, not because I came up with this idea, but I heard it and was like, oh, they can't be right. That guy's totally off. And then I started studying, and I'm like, nuts. He's right. The language here has nothing to do with smashing your thumb with a hammer, but has everything to do with falsely claiming the name of God. In fact, take a look at the next word. The word vain, lying, lacking truth, using it for an unworthy purpose. The Hebrew word is, I want to say shave, but there's an E missing. It's shav. Okay? And the Hebrew is matayos. Okay? And what it means is a falsehood. It means lying. Profitless, vain, not for a worthy purpose. Here's the thing. Is it okay to claim to be a Christian if you're a believer in Jesus Christ? Yeah. Is it okay to claim the name of God if you trust in Him? Yeah. But if all you're doing is just trying to get by, if you're just trying to weasel your way in, if you're trying just to check off the box, what does God say? Don't do it. Don't do it. You see, you know why people falsely claim the name of God? Because they have a knowledge of Him. Because they understand who He is. They understand something about Him. They've got access to knowledge. And when you abuse that, when you misuse it, when you fail to apply it rightly, God says, don't worry about it, we'll deal with it later, right? He says, no. He says, no, I will not hold them guiltless. And when you take a look at this word, the naka or the kath ar idzo, means that God will not make clean. Now you need to understand what that means. The starting point, if God is going to make you clean, what's your starting point? Dirty. Or in the spiritual Sunday school language, sinner. You're a sinner. Which is where we all start. We all start as sinful. But when we, who trust in the name of Jesus Christ, have His mercy and His grace and His blood washes us free from sins, He cleanses us. But what does God say about those people who take His name in vain? You ain't getting washed. You ain't getting cleansed. You're still stuck in your sin. That's what Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 11 says. It doesn't say, now wash your mouth out with soap. It has nothing to do with that. Though, quite honestly, if you're a believer, are you going to be flippant about God? No. But honestly, as a believer, might you have come from the depths of society? Yeah. Might you have some habits that you need to fix and get corrected? Yeah. Might you occasionally vote people number one while you're driving down the road? Might you occasionally say things that are not appropriate in society? Might you have some things to be worked on? Yes! Because God doesn't fix us and then save us. God pours His grace and mercy upon us. And then we enter into a journey of life drawing closer to Him. When you read Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 11, that's what it's talking about. Now, I'm going to read this verse one more time, and I want you to think about it, not about the language you use, not about the words that you might say, but I want you to think about someone who is falsely claiming to be a believer that isn't, and see if it doesn't make more sense to you. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 11. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Holy scary passage of the Bible. Oh. I mean, come on, let's be honest. I bet at least one point in time your mom said, don't you ever say that again, and here's a bar of soap. Right? Do you think that God will forever hold you guilty because of that? That's what that verse says if you misread it. But do you think God plays a game with people who play Christian? Wow. Wow. Do you see, when I first encountered this, it took me a couple hours on a Saturday just sitting in my office going, what just happened? Because my perception of this passage was radically changed. And I want to go on a little bit more. I want to take this a next couple of steps. Number one, we are called to take up the name of Jesus. That means to be saved, okay? I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 25. Can you read that? It's kind of small, isn't it? No? You guys can read it? Good. All right. Matthew chapter 25. And we're going to look at verses 31 through 46. And I'm going to breeze through this. This is a very familiar passage. It's one that you know. It says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, And he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked or clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? Stop for a second. These people aren't going, what are you talking about? I haven't given away a meal ever. And I'm not going to help anybody. Get up on your own 2 feet, by golly. That's not what they're saying. These are people that have reached out into their community. These are people who have worked at the food bank. These are people who have picked up hitchhikers on the side of the road. These are people who have seen somebody whose heart is broken and they have come upon them and lifted them up. They're not confused about that. They're confused about, I did that for Todd. I didn't do that for you. They're wondering, how is Jesus saying that? Because they ain't never seen him. They just saw people. And Jesus says, or the king. And the king answered them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. And you know what's coming, don't you? And then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you did not welcome me. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer and say, Lord, when did we see you? And the thing is, they're not saying, we did this. They're saying, if I had seen you, I would have done it. Do you get the difference? One willingly went out and did it for people, and the other didn't do it because they didn't think the people were worthy. But that's not the point. You want to know what the point is? The day of judgment is coming. And you will not escape. Did you catch that right at the beginning? When the Son of Man, verse 31, comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered a couple of people. Is that what your Bible says? It says all nations. All nations. All the nations. A day of judgment is coming. I want to clarify something with you because some people will think by reading this, that, oh, well, just do good and you're okay. That ain't it at all. Take a look in Matthew chapter 7. Turn back a couple of pages to Matthew chapter 7. Verses 21 through 23. This is another really familiar passage. Matthew chapter 27, beginning in verse 21, says this, not everyone who says to me, wait a minute, I didn't give you enough time to turn there. All right. Everybody there? Matthew 7? Here we go. It says, not everyone who says to me will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. I didn't know you because in vain, in falsehood, in deceit, you claim the name of Christ. You weren't serving me, you were serving yourself. In fact, In fact, turn to Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Very familiar passage. Incredibly familiar passage. You want to know what it means to take on the name of Christ and do it in honesty and integrity? You turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and saves. It takes belief. You can say whatever you want. You can do all sorts of good news, great things. You can be a wonderful human being. 1 Corinthians 13 says, I can do all of this, but if I don't have love, it's nothing. You can do all of the good in the world, and if you don't believe in the name of Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. So the number one thing is, do you believe? The number one thing for each of us is take up in earnest the name of Jesus. Allow the truth of who God is to rest in your heart. You don't have to be special. You don't have to be clean. You don't have to get fixed. You don't have to do all this stuff. Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth. And you will be saved. There is a day of judgment coming, and no one gets away without it. But if I would dare say that there's at least two Christians in here. Please, if not, today's the day of salvation. Today is the day. But for those of us that have turned to the Lord, what should we do? And I got two simple things. We are to be holy. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Ephesians 1, 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ in every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. Holy means to be set apart. Holy means to be different than the world. Holy means to allow the faith to impact how we live. I've accidentally run across a couple of decent movies lately. You ever do that? You're looking through and you think, oh, I've got nothing else to do. I'm going to watch this movie. And it turns out to be a really good movie. Well, it was a terrible movie, but it had a great message. It had the gospel message behind the mask. You've seen that? Thank you. Lord bless you, my daughter. Or the one about Tyndale. The fellow who wrote, translated into English and got it distributed throughout England, the Bible. Both of those movies carry the gospel in them. And I watched them both this week, so I don't remember which one it was that said this. It's not the fruit that makes the tree. It's the tree that makes the fruit. If you are a believer, you will produce good works. If you have come to that point in time where you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we are to be holy. We are to produce good works. Now, I want to point one more thing out to you, and then I'm going to wrap it up. Take a look in 2 Timothy. Second Timothy, chapter 2. I want to take a look at two quick verses. I'm going to wrap it up and we'll move on. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Do you get that? Do your best. Do you know what that means? Some of us are going to be better than others. Those of you that know me know that I'm far behind my wife. She is much better at this than I am. She is a glorious and wonderful human being. But all of us have been called to do our best to present ourselves as a workman approved. Now, skip down to verse 19. But God's firm foundation stands bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Two things in that verse. God knows whose are His. God knows when we take the name of the Lord in vain or when we take the name of the Lord in earnest. He knows that. And for those of us that are believers, we are to strive to depart from iniquity. Do you get that? We say, let your light shine. Live in a way that people will see Jesus in you. So I hope in taking a look at Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 11, the third commandment, the commandment that says, do not take the name of the Lord God in vain, that maybe you have something to think about. That maybe some of you are smarter than me, so you're probably going, yeah, I knew that. Thanks for not blowing my day. I wanted to share this today. But maybe some of you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you've been faking it till you make it. Maybe you've, you know, really haven't sold out for God. Today's the day. Today's the day. Because I'm going to tell you something. God will not play games on this. Not at all. He says He will not hold you guiltless. Now is the time for repentance. Now's the time to look in the mirror of God's Word and see the sin in our hearts and repent, because He will never turn you away. If you come to Him, He will accept you. He will wash you. He will make you guiltless. And for those of us that have enjoyed the incredible salvation that God gives, let us not give up living for Him. Let us commit again today and every day to be workers approved, to be holy, to be God's children. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word which challenges us. Thank You for Your word which instructs us. Thank You for Your love and grace, which redeems us. Father, if there is anyone here who hasn't taken the time, hasn't taken the opportunity, if there is anyone here who has falsely embraced Your name, Father, I pray that Your Spirit would rest heavy upon them, that they would know no peace, that they would know no comfort, that they would be well aware of the danger they stand before You in. But may they also be fully aware of the love and the grace that You freely offer. And Lord, may this be the day of salvation. And for those of us that have turned to You, I also pray that Your Spirit would be poured upon us. Father, that Your Spirit would comfort us, that it would guide us and challenge us. Father, that You would use us, that You would keep us from evil. We pray all this in the name of our glorious Lord and Savior. Amen.